His present work is through the local New Testament churches. That's how he's getting the gospel out. That's what he does. He uses you and I. We become a part of the local New Testament church. And listen, we cannot improve on what God has established. That's why he uses the number 7. You can't improve it. We can't go, well, you know, we'll go to this seminar or that seminar. We'll figure out how we can. You can't improve it, folks. God has set it down. It's complete. It's perfect the way he wants it done. Now, I realize this. You and I are not perfect. Would you agree? I'm in the boat with you. I asked my preacher one time, I got saved later in life after I got out of the Army after the first Gulf War. I was 25 years old and I got saved. And my preacher said, if you ever find a perfect church, don't join it. You'll mess it all up. Amen? That's you and I. We're imperfect people. Right? Hey, you guys that are married, if you don't believe that, ask your wife. She'll prove it to you. Amen? But I'm saying this to you. Some of you guys aren't laughing or not. You're afraid your wife's going to get mad at you. All right. And so, but the truth of the matter is this. We are not perfect. We're all sinners saved by grace. But the key is this. What God does is perfect. And what he has set up, collectively, you and I are part of a local New Testament church. I can be this bold to say this, and hopefully, Pastor, I don't say anything out of line, but I believe this. I don't think you're right with God if you're not a member of a local New Testament church. Why? Because the Lord set it up. He wouldn't have set it up for us just say, well, I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. What do you... No, he set it up for you and I to be part of it. Why? Because that is how he is going to reach not only this city and this county and this state and our country and to the uttermost. That's how he set it up. Just like us, hands across the border. We are a local church ministry. It's a ministry of our local church. And so we see this. He has set it up. Notice what he says this about it. It's the golden candlestick. That's precious metal. Do you understand this morning that to the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are precious in his sight? The rest of the world may write us off. The rest of the world may not think much of us. But the Lord Jesus Christ thinks a whole lot of us. And so we're precious. The church, the local New Testament church, we know this in 1 Timothy. It's called the pillar and ground of the truth. And so he is working through the local New Testament church. I want you to notice something else, though. I want you to notice this about his present work. Stay with me now. As we're in verse number 13, it says, and in the midst of the 7 candlesticks. You know what that means? He is the center of attention this morning. It's not me, it's not you, it's nobody else but Jesus Christ, right? I like the singing this morning. I like what the preacher said. I like the music that stirs your heart rather than your hips. You understand what I'm saying? We've traveled around the country since we've been on deputation. I've walked in there before. I've seen them doing things like they look like Baloo off the Jungle Book or something, and they're dancing around. It's just the craziest stuff. Listen. We don't need emotion this morning. We need God to work in our hearts because emotion will only carry you so far. And what we need to do is lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. When we moved from, I'm from Arkansas. How many of y'all figured I'm from the South somewhere? Amen. My wife and I, we graduated high school together and so in Arkansas, so we got the best 6th grade education money could buy and we were ready to go. I tell everybody, I don't know how they do it in your part of the country, but our part of the country, the way you pick a wife, number one, you make sure she's not your first cousin, and number two, she has a full set of teeth. Then that's the girl for you. I said that in a church recently. We were standing by the table, and a lady came by and was looking at my wife like that, and my wife, you know, she's kind of puzzled, Pastor. She's, what is it? She says, you do have all your teeth. I said, oh, man. So I got to get back here. So the key is this. We moved from Arkansas. We moved to Arizona, started a church. And I remember we started in our living rooms where we started. We started some Bible studies and we grew and went from there. And I remember a fella sitting in our Bible study. He said, hey, where's y'all's headquarters at? I said, where's our headquarters? I said, where's your headquarters at? He said, Kansas City, Missouri. I said, the only thing I knew about Kansas City, Missouri is you drive 70, lock your doors, and have the windows up. That's all I knew about Kansas City. I said, I sure don't want that for my headquarters. He said, well, where's your headquarters? I said, heaven. Why? Because the head of the church is the Lord Jesus. The head is right here. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And he's in the midst. He's the one who's to be lifted up. He's the one, if lifted up, will draw all men. Y'all agree with me there? And so, listen, I've been to those churches. Everything is center stage but Jesus Christ. Right? Monday's bowling, Tuesday's underwater basket weaving, Wednesday's whatever, Thursday's this, Friday's that, and all kinds of things. And they don't have time for Christ at all. He's been pushed right out the door. Listen, way he is working, he's working, he is in the midst of us this morning. Isn't that exciting? To know that he is the center of attention. That's his work. I want you to notice this. Look at the latter part of verse 13. We see his clothing. And if you'll notice, his clothing is this. His clothing is the clothing of the high priest. He's our go-between. Amen. He's our great mediator. There's only one mediator between man and God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. I'm excited. I don't have to go through you, and you don't have to go through me. That we all go through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great advocate we have this morning, right? What a great mediator we have this morning. And so we see his clothing, but we see his person. Look at verse number 14. His head and his hairs were white like wool. Here's what it tells us about him. That white represents purity. He's a holy and a righteous God. Do you understand that? He's not our buddy. He's not the old man upstairs. He's God. He's a holy and a righteous God. He's pure. That means there's no sin. That means to you and I that he wasn't a man who worked his way up to godhood. Right. He wasn't the Archangel Michael. He wasn't all that foolishness we hear the cults try to shove down our throats. Listen, he is God. He is pure. And that white not only stands for purity, but it stands for eternality also. He's eternal. He always has been. Oftentimes people, as we're traveling around, you know, we were back east and they were jumping forward or springing back or falling. I forget what they were doing with the clocks. And they said, you all out in Arizona don't do that? I said, no, we're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? I said, if you were right with God, you'd be out west also. Amen? Y'all jumping back, bunch of backsliders. But he's eternal, and praise the Lord for that. Not only do we see that, but look at his eyes. It tells us here in verse 14, his eyes were as a flame of fire. You see, we're getting a look at who Jesus really is. And praise God, it's Resurrection Sunday next week, right? We get to do something no other religion gets to do. All of them still in the grave. Ours is alive and well, isn't he? He's on the throne. He wasn't during the election up there, you know, wringing his hands. Oh, no, what are we going to do if so-and-so gets in? No, he's got it all under control. He has all power, right? And so we see this, though. He has eyes of flame. You know what that means? He sees everything. Imagine this. We had those fellas back there, and we followed you around all week long since last Sunday, and we put it on DVD, and every thought, every word, and every action you did in the last 7 days, we watched. You know what would happen? We'd all slither out of here, right? We'd all be lower than a pregnant ant, wouldn't we? Why? There's just some things you wouldn't do around the preacher, isn't that right? But you know what? Maybe the preacher isn't there all the time, but the Lord is. It doesn't matter where you do it, he sees it. Not only does he see it, but it says this, he has feet as like fine brass. He judges everything. And listen, friend, you're not going to pay him off. You're not going to be able to say, well, I grew up on this side of the tracks. Or I speak this language, or did you know who I was married to? That's not going to wash. It's not going to be at the end of the day, come on down, Vision Baptist Church. No, one-on-one with the Lord. He sees everything and he judges everything. Not only that, stay with me now. I want you to notice this, his voice. His voice, it says this, look with me in verse number 15. His voice is the sound of many waters. You know, when you and I really listen to the Lord and His Word, the Lord speaks to us today through His Word, and we speak to Him through prayer. And when we really hear the Word of God, it drowns out all the other voices in the world. Why? Because it is so pure and it's so powerful and holds so much authority that you can't help when you see the Lord and you hear Him that everything else drowns out. Are you still with me this morning? I want you to notice something else about Him here. His control. Look at verse number 16. In His right hand, He has seven stars. You jump down to verse number 20, that's the seven angels of the seven churches, and that's the pastors. Do you understand this morning when the pastor stands behind this sacred desk right here and he preaches, "Thus saith the Lord"? And sometimes you'll sit out there and say, "Man, that was powerful." Have you ever done that? That wasn't the preacher. That was the Lord working in and through the preacher. Isn't that right, preacher? Listen, He has the preacher. That gives Him the authority. Someone say, "Well, who gave Him that authority?" The Word of God gave Him that authority. The Lord did. And you know what? He has that power. He has the power of the Lord as He holds His messengers in His hand. I want you to notice His weapon in the latter part of verse number 16. His weapon, guess what it is? The Word of God. The Word of God. You and I, you know how we fight? With the Word of God. Oftentimes, as you and I, as we witness to people, oftentimes you'll hear them say things like, "Well, I think." You ever heard that? And sometimes maybe when you hear that, you want to say, "Well, that's the first time you've done that in a long time." But you're kind, and instead of trying to argue with them, here's what I normally do is they say, "Well, I think." I say, "You know, I really don't know, but I know this. The Word of God says." Because it's not my opinion. We all have opinions this morning, isn't that right? They're like armpits. We all got a couple of them, and they usually stink. And so the thing is this, the power, the weapon you and I fight with is not with carnal things, but with spiritual things. And it is the Word of God that has that power. I want you to notice something, though. Here's where I'm going to have to go fast, but I really want us to get a hold of. I want you to look at verse 17. And I want you to see the result of seeing Christ rightly. You notice what happens to John there is he gets overwhelmed with terror. You see, this is the same John when Jesus walked the face of the earth that he laid his head on his bosom. This is the same John that walked with Jesus for 3 years. But now he sees the glorified Christ and he's overwhelmed. And you and I, when we begin to see the Lord rightly, we get overwhelmed. Notice what John did. He fell down as dead. You can see him as he's laying down there, maybe face down as he's laying there. And if you'll study it out, you'll see John doesn't get up again till chapter 4 at the rapture. You see, John is laying there, and here's what happens to John. He sees the Lord rightly and he realizes this. Maybe I had walked with Jesus for 3 years. Maybe I am an apostle. Maybe I all of these things. But I can do nothing without Him. And what happens is this. He falls down as dead and Jesus comes with the right hand, which is the hand of power, and He lays it on His shoulder and He consoles John. You see, you and I, we have to go through this sin-cursed world. And we deal with things on a daily basis, don't we? And it seems like it's more foolishness every day. And what happens oftentimes is we're not looking at the Lord, we're looking at our circumstances, we're looking at our problems, we're looking at all of these different things. And so we get overwhelmed oftentimes, and maybe we make some bad choices and different things like that because we're not looking at the Lord correctly. But if you and I would get into the Word of God, like our brother said this morning, and we would hear the Word of God as He speaks to us through His Word, and we just become enamored with Him, and we get overwhelmed with who He is, then He'll put His hand on us, and we can serve Him with His power and with His strength. You see, that's what our world needs this morning. They don't need more of me and you. They need more of Him. That's what every church, including this one, needs. That's what every home needs. And that's what every family needs. And that's what we need all around the world. We need the power of God on our lives. And then we can witness with boldness. We can live for Him and in His power and strength when we lay ourselves down and let Him come alongside and use His power and strength in us and through us. You see, the question I have for you this morning is this: what kind of vision are you seeing? Preacher? Preacher?